Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 257, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, October 4th, 2024. Good day for coming in loud and clear.
Oh, yeah.
I can say that, 10-4.
Exactly. And you know what? Surprisingly, nothing to do with CB radios, truckers, and none of that. It's National Cinnamon Bun Day, National Golf Lovers Day, National Taco Day, National Vodka Day, and National Eat Fruit at Work Day, which, okay, eat fruit at work.
Okay.
Like, is that a thing you're not supposed to do?
I don't know.
Is that a
I'm
taboo?
I'm trying to picture the person who started the campaign to get a national day for eating fruit at work.
Right.
It's probably just like some marketer, but I like to imagine instead somebody who's like, everybody's going to judge me if I eat this apple at my desk.
Every day is National Fruit Day. I'm sick of it.
Thank you. National Vodka Day.
Yeah.
That vodka has a pretty strong following year round, but all right.
Yeah, that's definitely from the industry.
Yeah, Golf Lovers Day is also.
I'm sure that's from the municipal politicians who protect our golf courses.
Remember National
Golf Lovers Day? These are a sweet, sweet suck on our natural resources.
Protect our parks for the rich at all costs.
Yeah, our private parks for the rich to walk around in.
That's what they probably consider their house. It's that's our Section 8 housing. The government provides us this space for our benefit.
Yeah. It's my sanctuary. All right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Plumpers. That's right, Plumpers. That is what I like to call my legs. When you see these Plumpers, you'll think that guy must have mad boosties. That is courtesy of Josea on Twitter. This, a.k.a. for Jack O'Brien, inspired by Blake Wexler's deeply upsetting use of the word Plumpers last week. So shout out to you,
never forget is what I say about the use of plumpers to describe his legs. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yeah, starting point guard for the Adelaide 36ers. Here comes Mr. Miles Gray. Oh, shout out to the Adelaide 36ers who had an upset win over the Phoenix Suns. And no. I just love the idea that I read the headline that was like Adelaide 36ers pull off an upset against the Phoenix Suns in preseason. I immediately was like, what the fuck are the 36ers? It's when the colony of South Australia was proclaimed.
Yeah. It's like their version of 76ers.
But it's still about colonization.
the headline that came across my transom when I saw that was like, this title contender got rinsed by like an Australian team, the first NBA team to lose to like a non-NBA team since OKC. And like, I think it was like years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just had a knot in my stomach because I clicked through like a good consumer of clickbait. Mm-hmm. To see which team it was. Because I don't follow the preseason so closely that I
you knew this was coming
knew
up.
That this happened. Yeah, right. I wasn't like, oh man, the Suns 36ers game coming up. Got to catch that. But yeah, I was very relieved that it was the Suns and not my 76ers.
Yeah. Good show from the National Basketball League, the NBL in Australia.
Australia. That was the worst attempt at such a bad attempt at an Australian accent that I shouldn't have even acknowledged that's what I was doing.
Yeah, just move on, Jack.
Yeah, move on. It also, so the last time the Suns played at home was when it's very strange. They lost by like 50. It was supposed to be a big game seven. It had been like a back and forth battle. They were expected to prevail and they were just like down 40 after the first quarter. And it was this very strange, like malaise had come over them. And now their first game, I think since then, and they lose this was by far the best team in the NBA last year. So even if you're not an NBA fan, this is like interesting from a psychological perspective.
I think it shows that the talent gap, you know, might be tightening.
Oh yeah, could be that too. Let's give it to the 36ers.
I'm giving it to the 36ers all day.
36ers.
It sounds like the 36ers are a farm team to the 76ers.
It does.
You get bumped up to the 46ers.
Work your way up. Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, Woody, you guys are playing like a bunch of 56ers today, huh?
Well, Miles, that voice that just came in before he was introduced.
Always.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented comedian and podcast host. You've seen him doing stand-up on something called TV, which I'm told is short for television. You've heard him on podcasts.
It's an older medium.
But it still, you know, still has its adherence, I'm told. Also, you've heard him on podcasts like the truly hilarious Get Rich Nicks. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Nick Turner! Yeah!
I do not wait for the man who does not wait for introduction.
That's right.
It's me, baby. Okay, I got some good ideas to sell some merch in professional sports. Okay, you remember when IHOP went IHOP? For burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it fucking crushed.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it.
We did it.
You got the boys, for sure. There's a TikTok trend where you would go to IHOP or whatever. And anyway, so I think the 49ers, just for 1 week, changed their name to the 69ers.
Hey.
And then sell a shit ton of merch.
Yeah.
And then fire whoever's idea it was and pretend and walk it back. Or another idea. Okay, this one's better. Fuck that idea. Woodstock 69ers.
Oh, Woodstock.
Professional team in Woodstock. It's the only other number that works, or the only other other reason to have a 69.
Oh, right, because that's the year of love. I was the summer of love. I was
summer of love.
Just picturing two hippies 69ing in the mud, and that was much less pleasant.
Oh, I bet a lot of that happened, though.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Just for hours at a time.
Yeah.
Just lazily 69ing.
They're doing it out of laziness.
Yeah, they're just chilling.
I don't have time to do you. They
were already naked and they fell down that way and just were like, I guess this is as good a way to spend the afternoon as any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would celebrate the birth of social justice hero Brett Favre. He was born in 1969. Mm. So I would honor him.
There you go.
Always keeping the destitute in mind when building a fucking volleyball stadium for your daughter.
So you're just frantically Googling people born in 1969?
I was just looking at everything because I was like, so much happened. And I'm like, what's the weirdest thing that I'm like, oh, man, Sirhan.
We knew that guy was a liar because that's not how what his name is.
Yeah. Mm.
It's Favre.
Yeah.
Thank you,
liar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It got southernified. Southernified is not a word, but he's from Mississippi, I believe. So,
yeah.
Shout out.
Shout out to the Grand Mississippi.
Hey, shout out to stealing from the poor. Like Mississippi, no one does it better.
All right, Nick, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Nice. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Brazilian election. It was much closer than people expected. Bolsonaro won enough votes to push to a runoff that's going to happen at the end of the month. And the markets were psyched. The markets surged after his stronger than expected
result. No way. Then the guy who's like, I'm really leaning into leftist social justice for this go around. Like when they have them, they're like, oh, thank God. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about MTG is now just leaning into the paranoia. Marjorie Taylor Greene is claiming that Republicans are being hunted. So,
yeah,
I mean, she wants people to just start killing Democrats. I think
that's it's precisely what they're trying to do, is just to motivate more political violence on their side through just complete fucking lies.
Yeah. We're going to talk about more obscure sports cheating.
Yeah.
Which never a bad time. We recently talked about allegations of cheating happening in the world of chess.
Yes.
Mm. Did you guys talk last week about the poker hand while I was out?
No.
That just froze Twitter. It was all the only thing that people were talking about on Twitter for like 2 days was this woman winning a hand of Texas Hold'em.
Right. And the guy was just like dead inside, right?
He's like, what? How could you? Why would you have done that though? It doesn't make any analytical sense that you would have made that
okay,
move.
Spock.
And she, I think she like misread her cards or something, but he like made her give him his money back. And the whole thing is just very strange.
Yeah, because he was accusing her of cheating, right? I definitely saw that because the clip was blowing up and I started watching, but it was like a 4 minute clip and nothing was happening. And I was like, I don't have time for this.
And
like,
by the end of the clip, you can see that something has happened because the people around them at the table are like, oh my goodness. And like, wow, I can't believe it's a dead drop. He's drawn dead on this one. I'm like, uh-huh. But once I read into it, it just comes down to him thinking she had worse cards than she did and her behavior. It seems pretty straightforward. Like, that's just how poker works. Yeah. And and then he's like, but the things she said didn't make any sense. And now I have read theories from supposedly smart people being like, you can actually see her pants vibrating at one point.
Why is everyone's pants and asshole vibrating to cheat?
So that is
chess or poker.
We got
this one has nothing to do with vibrating assholes. I promise you that. But I won't tell you what it is. I'm just going to let you hear the anger first and then we'll unfold it from there.
Right. Anyways, we'll talk about that and all of that. Plenty more. But first, Nick, what is something from your search history?
Oh, finally, you got to me. Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
I thought there were some more sports I hadn't heard of doing cheating. All right. Yeah. Well, it's weird because it's almost exclusively porn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I like that. So if it's almost exclusively, then whatever isn't, I think, is probably the most interesting. What interrupted your porn search?
Yeah, I guess, porn addiction?
No, sometimes I'm just done. But this is one of those times, which is why I finally agreed to do your podcast. I was Googling late night eats in Philadelphia this weekend. I was nowhere near. No, I was in Philadelphia. I just wanted to know what I could be eating.
What are the people of Philadelphia eating this late evening?
We were at a wedding and we were staying at the Maj Hotel. Which kind of, if you slur it, kind of sounds like the Taj Mahal.
Right.
The Maj.
So that's what I call it.
Stayed at the Maj.
I was trying
to figure out a way to make it work.
I mean, I got all the time in the world.
Yeah. All right. if I stayed at the Maj.
Yeah. Oh, you got it.
Okay. I mean, it might be ever easier to pull off that you stayed at the Mirage than the Taj.
Okay,
Mahal.
We were staying at the Mirage Mahal.
Okay.
And
love it.
We got back late on Friday, and I asked the front desk girl, woman, if she had a recommendation for anything to eat. And she says, you know what? Nope.
Wait, like that? She hit you with it like that?
Yeah, she was like, I love Philly. She's like, maybe she was going to do it, but then she's like, I've been burned before. Right. I don't have a recommendation.
Wow.
And I said, okay, well, that's weird. But she said, okay, I do have a recommendation. You can try Uber Eats.
Right. Okay.
And I said,
that's amazing.
Okay. That is hilarious.
She was absolutely done.
Yeah. So I had to do a little Googling myself. But you know what? I checked out Uber Eats.
What'd you land on?
It worked.
What'd you land on?
She wasn't wrong. I got some Chinese food. It was fantastic.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
Hey, I was also at a wedding, too. Similar situation, like the night before, like the Friday night stuff had ended.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting back to the hotel. But I'm like, I'm smoking and shit. So I'm like, oh, man, I want to fucking eat. But we were like in a fucking like 2-lane highway town. And it was funny because me and this other guest of the wedding, we were both like, we must have both had been like hungry because we were both looking at our phones at the same time. We turned to like our partners. We're like, there's nothing on Uber Eats right now. So I ate a lot of fucking pretzels.
Yeah. Well, you should have been in the 6th largest city in the United States.
That was
there was a lot more options. Where were you?
This place called Nukuyama. It's a town on the other side of the mountains of where like Santa Barbara is. I had never been here before growing up in Southern California, but apparently it was this town that Arco thought was going to be the new Saudi Arabia, like in the 50s or 60s, and set up all this infrastructure to be like, here we go. And then the wells went dry and it just fucking collapsed. And then these people are trying to like revitalize it, which is the most stressful undertaking I think I've ever heard someone say out loud. It's like, we want to bring this town back to life. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of time and commitment. But yeah, it was great. Good time.
But Exxon already drank their milkshake.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, all of it. I mean, I think what they did was they thought they saw like a big ass cup and they're like, there's probably a shitload of milkshake in that cup. And then they drank a little bit. And they're like, okay, there was only one sip. We were over our skis on that one.
What is something you think is overrated, Nick?
Okay. I think overrated is flying to weddings. I think that we, as a society, should just pick a city where the most people you want to come are, and those people go to your wedding, and no one else does. And we just don't even do it anymore.
Right.
We don't fly to 5 different weddings in a year. We just hang out at our house. We tell our closest loved ones we love them. And we move on with our lives. What do you think?
I like it.
Have your support.
When people have a normal party, they don't expect you to fly in for it.
Not one person has ever flown in to one of my ragers.
Yeah. Fair. I mean, how would you do that, though? Like, is there like an algorithm you set up to try and find what's the like to do this diplomatically? It's like, well, you're from here. You're from here. We live here.
Yeah.
80% of our friends are in this city.
Use that like triangulation formula that the police use to discover where a serial killer lives.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. You get your yarn out. Incorrect. And then, but it turns out the answer is always the city that you currently live in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Turns out that's where my friends are.
Yeah.
But then people, it's always like a small city, you know, like you'll go and then the smaller the city, the more expensive it is to go there.
Yeah.
Like
if
you're flying into Nukuyama, that's like a $1,600 flight.
Oh, you can't. I mean, there is an airstrip next to the hotel, but I don't think nothing has landed or taken off from there in decades. But it's an interesting thing where it's like it's cheaper to have the wedding in like a smaller town or something because the market isn't as inflated as like a bigger city. But like to your point, it's like, yeah, getting there is like $6,000 though.
Yeah.
And it's in California.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like I can get to Tokyo cheaper then I can get to Cincinnati.
Wait, where'd you get those tickets?
Because I have a private airline. There were some people on my flight to Philly. There was like a 9-person family, and they were like, they had not been having fun at the airport. And then when they got on, there's the dad was like, "We're flying private from now on.
Holy
this
shit.
Is ridiculous."
Wow.
And it's like they weren't even in first class, and I wonder if he knew how much private was.
Right.
Like, did he feasibly look like someone who may have flown private, or they were saying that like as if they don't know and they're just like, "I like that idea. We're flying private."
But you know that you've seen people where you're like, "This guy could live on the street or be a millionaire."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Was this like, LA to Philly?
If you have money to fly 9 family members on a plane, you obviously are not a broke person.
Right.
Or terrible with money.
Or you
because they were almost all kids.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Wow. Oh, and just have that like, "Yeah, I got 9 kids and we do whatever we want because money is not an object."
Right.
Next up, Tahiti. But private.
Also, it's probably tough to get 9 seats in first, you know? So maybe that's why he was back there.
Oh, and then blaming the kids. It's like, I should be up there. Fuckers.
Did he loudly say it as he got on the plane? That was an interesting.
Well, yeah. Because we got on early because we have a kid now under 2, and so we all got to board early. So this was kind of a private show for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That we were privy to.
I love that.
Traveling with the babies, not fun.
Nothing better.
I'm pretty sure everything is better.
Oh, right.
Traveling with a baby.
Yeah. right. Yeah, that, except for that.
We did an East Coast trip like 3 weeks ago too, and we brought
little
the dog,
East Coast swing,
the dog also, and so we had baby and the dog. So this was better than that.
God, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, but it wasn't as bad as the trip was. It was hell. I mean, because that's the thing. People think the traveling with the baby and the dog are hell, but no. When you get to the place, it sucks the whole time.
Yeah.
Have to bring like a Formula One races worth of infrastructure with you, like on a plane to be like, "All right, man, this kid can shit anywhere and we have multiple outfits and we're ready to go for any contingency."
But there's too many things too, and there's always something insane you forgot. Like this time we forgot socks and shoes.
Yeah.
All for three yourselves, of you, right? Or for your kid?
You just did. Well, you left. Everyone. You got to the airport, stepped out of the car. Like, oh no! Oh boy!
Oh man! My shoes are all cold and rocky. Wait,
yeah. I'm standing on asphalt. The barefoot. Cab driver $100. I got his socks. Lyra got his shoes. And we just stuck the baby's feet in each one of our breast pockets.
Yeah.
Good to go.
The trips are overrated for, like, I'm just now coming out of the phase where it is straight up a nightmare to travel. And even still, like, the 4-year-old is rough sledding because when he wakes.
Yeah, but when is it the worst? What year is the worst?
It's, like, right now through, like, I'd say, like, 2 through 4 is pretty bad.
Ow! Tell me it's over, Jack.
No,
I'm sorry.
Come on.
Why?
Yeah, because it's at an age where like a movie does not like that. They get bored with a movie pretty quickly, and so you can't just
plus
be like,
hyper mobile.
Watch my phone for 2 hours while I just enjoy the silence. But it's pretty. It's a lot. It's just you.
Why
you
did
have
we do
to be
it?
On. I don't know.
Did we do it?
It's a great question.
No, but I love him. Wouldn't change it for a thing. What else is happening?
What's something you think is underrated?
Okay, underrated. I would say a DJ at your wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people that come up to me and they say, "I got a band for my, I paid the extra money and we got it, buddy, the band." Well, guess what? The band takes breaks. And the band is, they have varying levels of talent. And the band doesn't do any Jackson 5.
Right.
The band, whatever the band is, there's no band on earth that is as diverse as I would like a wedding playlist to be.
Right.
I went to a wedding in Philly. And they did not play Let Motel? Me Clear My Throat.
Oh,
it's because the band didn't know it.
Wow. We're hoping for more of a Motown Philly vibe.
Yeah, you just need you need a few. Yes, a Detroit.
I said
Philly.
East Coast Swing earlier, so
I know. I appreciated it, Jack. Don't worry.
Back in school, we used to dream about this every day.
Sounds like they could have used you on the mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, the bands are nice, but when I'm at a wedding, nothing a band is doing makes me like run to the dance floor.
Right.
Unless, okay, I've been to one wedding where the band was so fucking good, I couldn't believe it. Like, they were were fucking killing it. Like, they did Taylor Swift and then hit, like, Cool in the Gang seamlessly, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Damn.
Wow. They were really good.
Damn, son, where'd you find those?
But what's even wilder, so I was at a wedding, too, this weekend. What was wild is they hired a DJ who comes with a drummer, a trombone player, and the DJ plays sax. So he'll be like playing shit.
That's dope.
And then he'll just watch. I took a video because this shit was so wild. This is them doing house music, but this dude is ripping a trombone. Oh shit. I just fucked up my whole mic. Hold up.
No, God. No shit.
I just fucked him real. Hold on.
We're not getting that video.
No, not a chance.
This thing got me so turned up. Okay, now I got to show you this band. Just listen. You know this track they're playing too. Like, This is the DJ and the trombone player playing the shit.
Come on. Like moving around a little bit.
Yeah, this dude was getting his check.
Yeah.
Dude, so many songs. They would just the trombone player would come out of nowhere and just like rip a trombone solo to like
damn
fucking that crazy is a in love
great
and shit.
Idea.
That's fucking incredible.
Yeah,
I want to
blew my mind.
I think that is such a great endorsement for what you're talking about, Nick. And also the other big endorsement that Miles just said was that he's been to one wedding where the band actually like kicked ass.
Right.
Miles goes to a wedding every weekend. He is the most popular human being I know. He's always
I just have Zeitgang invite me. I say, hey, we're getting
married.
I'll show up.
Is anybody got anything going on?
I won't eat.
He goes on Twitter and just searches, we're getting married, and then tries to make fast friends.
Like how people would like Zoom bomb in the early pandemic when trolls just look for loose Zoom links on Twitter and just follow
them. You're in the back of every engagement photo popping over a bush.
And I'm like, man, this band's good. They're
and
like,
one
where did
band.
You get that chicken from? I'm
one
like,
band out
me.
Of the whole, out of his whole wedding crasher career. Yeah.
But that was amazing. Like, it was just kind of like they knew how to use the instruments like that were like horn or brass based and just like accentuate. And that was fantastic. Mm.
This band was a bunch of old lawyers.
Yes.
Like literally old lawyers. And they played.
That's the other thing you look for in a good band.
Yeah. Like 70s rock music. And it sounds, that description sounds bad.
Yes.
But I will say they were incredible at what they did.
Right.
Like
right,
playing
right.
70s rock covers. Like the first song was like, I could have sworn that guy was Neil Young had come out. He was doing a Neil Young impression. I mean, I was like, and they were all really great at their instruments. But at one point, the guy, the lead singer said, people complain that all of our music, everyone that wrote it is dead. But so we do have one newer song and we're going to play it right now. And they played Wagon Wheel.
Wagon
Wheel. Wow.
Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. That one, you know?
I don't know
it's
that
like
one.
It's like 15 years old.
Okay. Right. I like to like, but guess who's not dead? 3, 4, on a dark desert highway, cool wind in my... Like, yo, what the fuck? You're like, hey,
three out of the five
here.
Of them are alive.
They're all still right. here, so fuck that.
Eagles never die.
Never die, never die.
Amazing. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Yeah. We'll be right back.
The
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate. Whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier, Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, so real quick, checking with the Brazilian election. We've been kind of talking about this, keeping eyes on this for a little while now, because it is a fairly straightforward showdown between progressive leftist policies and open and unabashed fascism. And fascism didn't like fully prevail, but it did better than expected. And yeah, so Lula, who is a leftist former president in Brazil, was expected to beat Bolsonaro in the first round of the election and get 50% of the vote. He did not. He got 48.5. Bolsonaro got like around 43. And so that leads to a runoff, which gives Bolsonaro more opportunities to, you know, fuckery.
Oh, yeah.
Claim fraud, stage a coup. And yeah, it just, I don't know. The main reason I'm bringing it up is because the main story from Reuters about this was like markets are surging after Bolsonaro's stronger than expected result. Because, and I just think it kind of goes back to what we've been saying on this show, which is that the status quo, like powers that be in the world, in the global economy, would much rather have fascism than they would leftist policies that actually help people.
Right, right. Well, that's, we definitely know that sharing is, will fuck the market up. Right. Terribly. So is that's
this, isn't this how we can classify every international election now? That it's like it's either the fascist or the crunchy leftist, like Italy, France.
Well, I think in other countries the thing that's the fascism is not the ingredient that's missing. Fascism is everywhere. The leftist is the ingredient that's usually right, missing. Right, like right. Openly progressive leftist candidate is usually missing. And it hasn't been like South and Central America. Sure. There's been some success with leftist leaders taking power.
Which is why I'm surprised Brazil's like, go voted for the person that y'all are voting for rather than go coup that will help our global interests, which is,
right.
I feel like, what we normally hear. Yeah. In these situations, especially, and that makes sense because on the like the financial side of it, everyone's like, hey, man, hey, that was great for the markets, though, huh?
Yeah.
Not sure what the lived experience is for, you know, marginalized Brazilian people.
Yeah. I mean, the alliance between corporate rule, capitalism as it currently exists, and fascism has been clear in the U.S. for a long time. There was an attempt to overthrow FDR's administration, which we've talked about before, called the business plot, where, you know, FDR's administration was the result of a leftward movement in the event of catastrophic failure of the market rule philosophy, which led to the Great Depression. And so a bunch of business leaders hired a military general to overthrow, to like try and stage a coup on the U.S. government. And it was found out because they like the general was like, nah, fuck you guys. And that, but that's the only reason it was like found out. And that, like, that is the truth about the current status quo. Like Jeff Bezos, like people who are some of the most powerful people in the world would much rather have fascism than leftist rule and like socialism.
Yeah, just watching kind of like the last push, like this last week, I mean, Bolsonaro got like a ton of people to be like, yo, you better fucking get on wax endorsing me. Like Neymar, the soccer player, did like this very cringy video where he was like singing Bolsonaro's like 2020 like campaign slogan. And it's just, you know, it's interesting to watch just how like how the mainstream responds to this, how they're like more, some artists are like, no, we would never vote for Bolsonaro. A lot of like athletes are like more traditional, like conservative, and they're like, yep, we're all in here.
Sure.
And also just see that like the pieces are there for, you know, a potential coup, but a lot of people feel that it might not be enough of a plurality of the military and police to pull it off.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes this runoff like scary, because in the interim between them, between now and the runoff, a lot more destabilizing shit can occur if Bolsonaro yeah. tries to, you know, follow through on what he seemed to have been promising, which is like, I ain't leaving.
Yeah. And Bolsonaro was thought, like, people, the overall story had been he was just getting his ass kicked in this election. So having a stronger than expected result, who knows what that's going to do for military leaders who were like on the fence about whether or not to participate in the coup that he is clearly kind of steadily pressuring them to carry out.
Yeah.
So.
And so much fucking, dude, there's so much, like, the rainforest is such a big deal. Like, there's like so much that's going to be determined by who wins this
yes.
election. Like, there's so much at stake that I think, you know, from us on the outside, you know, looking in, just don't fully grasp. And every time I'm like reading, I'm like, Jesus, the corruption, the fucking, like, the state of our rainforests and shit like yeah. that all hang in the balance.
Just record deforestation under Bolsonaro. And like, that is not just, it doesn't seem like it's like a accidental byproduct of his philosophy. It's like that part of his philosophy is like, nah, fuck those trees.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So everybody in Brazil, It's time to vote, all right?
Thank
That's
you.
That's the only way we can save democracy is if you vote. So if you're already in line, stay in line.
Right. And that's what the other thing, like we're going to start a campaign on here called Rock the Vote, where we just like get people to understand that it's cool to vote. And hopefully that'll change the tide.
Yeah, that sounds so cool. I'm thinking about trying to rap the vote.
The vote is a cool idea.
Rap. No, rap there was the a rap, a rap the vote, I think.
There was.
That's a real campaign.
Yeah. That was also very.
It spoke
there was
to
like
me.
An album. Wasn't there
As
an
a 40-year-old.
was Hillary Clinton like dropping bars on the album or
my God, I want to look this up.
It feels like
I feel like it was like Chuck D probably was in there. You know, like that era of things.
Right.
I'm not finding anything good.
No.
I think we Mandela affected it.
Oh man. There was definitely something where rappers were coming out like in weird full force in 2004. Cause I remember it was like the first presidential election I voted in. I was like, maybe the Rock the Vote people getting more.
Vote or Die. That's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, Vote or Die was the one that Diddy was like the main person for.
Yes, Diddy. I will vote or die. Thank you.
Vote or die.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Miles, what's as our Marjorie
All
Taylor
the single
Greene
ladies.
Correspondent?
Yeah, shout out to single ladies, you know? Because it got me looking so crazy right now. These rallies got me looking so crazy right now. Trump had a rally in Michigan over the weekend. Apparently people left 15 minutes into him speaking. I don't look at that good or bad or anything. I think people just go and they're like, all right, I've seen enough. I will still vote for racism. Don't worry.
Yes.
But I think maybe they left because Trump presumably was the most subdued speaker there that evening. Marjorie Taylor Greene took the mic, you know, it was one of the openers for the Orange God. And, you know, basically just straight up falsely claimed that Democrats have already begun the systemic killings of Republicans. I'll play this clip for you.
Oh, and we'll talk about... I didn't know we had started.
Well, I'll play this and we'll talk about kind of what she's even referencing on the other side.
We're all targets now, though, for daring to push back against the regime. And it doesn't stop at a weaponized legal system. I'm not going to mince words with you all. Democrats want Republicans dead, and they've already started the killings. An 18-year-old boy was run down by a Democrat driver who confessed to killing the teenager simply because he was a Republican.
Wow. I'm going to need a citation
there. Even here in Michigan, just last week, an 83-year-old woman was shot in the back for advocating for the unborn.
Whoa.
We hadn't heard of any of these.
Joe Biden has declared every freedom-loving American an enemy of the state.
Okay, we'll just stop there. So she's referencing two things. The first one was this guy in North Dakota where the headlines were that this guy thought this 18-year-old that he like killed with his car, like ran over with his car. He thought he was like a Republican and then like an extremist Republican. And like they had an argument. Apparently, according to this guy, they had an argument over politics. The guy felt that this dude was going to call up his homies or whatever, and they were going to fucking attack him. So he, like, in a panic, like, I guess, attacked this guy with his car. Not really defensible, no matter how you cut it. But the police, during their investigation, said they found no evidence that there was any, like, political anything involved with this.
Okay.
Like, it could have just been a drunken argument where someone just fucking lost their shit and then killed another person. Not because they said, I'm voting for Trump. What now? I'm a target? No. And then the other one was about what happened in Michigan, where she said this woman was shot in her back. This was apparently this 80-something-year-old woman was going around trying to get people to vote against the ballot proposition that would have enshrined like abortion access in the state constitution, because she's like, hi, I'm pro-forced birth. Don't help people. OK, can I count on you? And then the woman was like, nah, I'm not really into that. Please leave. She wouldn't leave. An argument, I guess, ensued. The husband came out and like fired a warning shot into the tree. And then like she was up. Then this guy said he thought she was going to come at her with a clipboard. So he tried to club it away with his gun, but his finger was on the trigger guard and accidentally hit her in the shoulder. Again, I don't know what the fuck is going on there, but hardly a situation where it's like ding dong, are you a Republican right yeah. this way to the fucking, you know, whatever the fuck terrible situation she's trying to paint.
Yeah.
Well, she's got a good point. So it's, millions of black and brown people killed by the police.
Right.
And mm-hmm. then two confusing stories that you could make an argument for.
Exactly. I mean, you want to talk about hunting people down? I'm like, that's the Republicans or conservatives, extremists are doing that with like abortion seekers. Talk about the people who escort people to and from clinics. They're like, it's a whole other level of just violence and aggression. Or, you know, like you're saying, people of color who are interacting with the cops, the LGBTQ community, black, you know, fucking anybody, Jewish people. There's all these people who get targeted. But again, this is something where they found some version of like, oh, the word I thought he was a Republican fits right into this out of control worldview that I'm trying to peddle, which is they want us dead. So we better start thinking of that they might not be human as well, which yeah. obviously that's all part of, you know, like any civil war or internal uprising like that. You have yeah. to really go full pedal to the metal on dehumanizing the other to be able to get people in a different zone to mistreat or act out violence against them.
Right.
They have to do this kind of shit because like the facts don't favor any of their policies. Like objectively, the Republicans' worldview is basically there is a version of the world where some people just deserve to die.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's just on them. That's really not our problem. Those mm-hmm. people, that's not our problem. That's on them. If they died, then you know what? Maybe it was supposed to be that way. That's pretty much how they think. So this is kind of like now just having to project that shit outwardly where they're like, yeah, and just because of this, they think you're not a person. But,
yeah.
you know, you look at the Florida like hurricane relief, like sort of tug of war that's happening rhetorically where it's like, I want it. No, I don't want it. I need it. Thank you. I'm Marco Rubio. And I've right. said seven different things in 2 days.
And this goes along with the grooming, like the whole argument that people on the left and, you know, mainstream Democrats are grooming people. Like these are all claiming that if you don't kill them, they're going to kill you. And things about them coming after your children are all like textbook
right.
tactics for when you are going to justify systemic like murder of a group of people of the outgroup. Like that's
right.
It's proceeding like along like they're going down a checklist.
And you look at how they attack like other candidates in races and it's never on the merits. It's never about the policies. It's John Fetterman's a Crip.
Right.
What? That's yeah. not a fucking argument. The same thing's happened with Stacey Abrams right now. They're like, Stacey Abrams will be the fucking God, Lord, Savior of planet Earth. Like they're sending mailers around with the shot of her being on the new Star Trek show where she was played a character of the president of Earth. And they're like, you don't want to live on planet Stacey.
Mm.
And going like the taxes and crime are going to be out of control. And then like they have Joe Biden in the back doing like terrible Photoshop Spock, Vulcan, live long and prosper gang signs and shit.
Their Photoshop skills are really like that. That's the one war that we can win with them every time we can. Photoshop
I mean, it looks them. Pretty convincing. Look how big Joe Biden's hand is compared to his head.
Oh, my God. They gave him a baby hand.
They gave yeah. him a Trump hand.
Yeah. yeah. So, but again, like, it's all this whole thing of, like, painting whoever of, like, they can't even be like, wow, Stacey Abrams wants people to be able to vote, like,
I'm sorry,
uninhibited
but that,
or do other things. And it's
that
like,
actually
no.
looks like Stacey Abrams' hand. If you look at the placement. They just, right. Stacey Abrams has a white hand.
Right. Either right. one. But I like this one. They're saying, they're almost saying, look, these white people are subservient to the black president. Of Earth. Like, it's all so fucking...
What if we had a black president?
Well, would this white man felt about be... that.
there's no way this white man would serve under him.
Right. right. like, and again, this is just all they have is to just... to feed more paranoia, to make people feel more unsafe. Everything you watch, especially on Fox right now, it's everything is meant to make you be like, I don't know my fucking neighbor. They trying to fucking stab me. They trying to give my kid fentanyl. I don't know. Ugh. It's just it's running at a very low hum, but it's every day it gets ramped up.
If we have term limits and Marjorie Taylor Greene had no more elections. Would she do any of this? Or would she like actually try to do something good for her constituents?
No, I think she'd be doing this. I think
still be doing this.
Yeah, she would be doing this in a Facebook group if it wasn't for her. I think she was was doing it in a Facebook group before. Like, that's how she came to people's attention, was being wild on Facebook.
And I think, this is just like being on like a reality show as like a, you know, like it's like this A to B to C sort of sequence to become like a mainstream celebrity. It's like, well, first, I got to get on The Bachelor. And if I go far enough, then I get that spawn con and I can start doing that and, you know, change my income a little bit. And I feel like you see so many of these like opportunistic politicians left and right. But right now, especially on the right, who are like, immigrants, gay people. And people are like, wow, we love it. And they know that by getting into Congress, it legitimizes you on some level. And then you can start grifting.
Like, sure.
That's what they all do.
You hear political analysts be like, well, that's where the energy is on the Republican side. And it's like, for like genocide? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, wow. It's in the air.
The people are wild for it. And the Q stuff is really, that's where all the energy is. So
everyone wants to get to the point where they have the hundreds of millions of dollars to pay the Sandy Hook parents.
Right.
When they eventually come for it.
They're like, I want that settlement to only wipe out a third of my wealth. And I'll still be okay. That's the dream.
All right. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk sports cheating.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. And yeah, so the sports cheating story that caught my attention over the weekend was the poker one. And basically, it just doesn't make sense. Like when you look into it, if you've seen it but haven't had the patience to like look into it, like for her to have cheated on this hand, she would have had to have known what cards were coming, essentially, because like she made decisions as if she knew what cards were coming. And that's like impossible. So,
well, can you tell us what was in her hand at the time?
It was like a jack four, I think.
Okay. So,
and the other guy had an 8-9 straight draw, like possibility. And so that, or a straight flush possibility. And so people were like, you never like stay in on a hand against something like that unless you could see his cards and like knew exactly what was happening. But everybody who I've seen who is a rational person and does not seem to be at least partially motivated by misogyny is like, even if she knew what his cards were, it didn't make sense for her to stay in. So knowing what his cards were, like she either misread her hand, didn't like kind of made a mistake and was just didn't really know what she was doing, and then was kind of bluffing and talking shit to act like she did it all on purpose. But it doesn't matter. There's no cheating. That's how like that's what games of chance are about. And like for him to that, the big thing is that he then like she was pulled aside by the organizer of the tournament and this player who she beat. And they like basically intimidated her into giving the money back.
Right.
And he's like, see, she cheated. She wouldn't have given the money back if she hadn't cheated.
Yeah. Or maybe just she was being harassed by a bunch of men and she felt unsafe.
And he's like the most powerful player in the tournament. And everyone's like, he does a lot for the sport of poker, but I don't know. Anyways, it's not really worth looking into if you haven't. It's just like, it seems like it's misogyny and we're losing.
Exactly.
And then,
right. You know. To me, it's more like this dude couldn't fathom that maybe she just read your ass. Like maybe she just knew how to fucking get you to slowly start raising.
Right.
And then just figured you out. I don't know. And he's like, there's no fucking way that could happen because I'm a guy. She's cheating. Right. And I haven't seen any evidence. But in this scandal I'm about to
talk
about,
we have some
there's some fucking evidence in this shit. I had no idea. Okay, so we talked about the chess vibrating asshole scandal. We've talked about potentially vibrating pantsgate in the poker world. This is from another sports tournament over the weekend. I'm not going to say the sport right now. I just want you to listen to the fucking anger from this clip when people have found out that someone who won this tournament was cheating.
He needs to be arrested. He needs to be prosecuted. Call the cops. Call the fucking cops.
That's fucking theft, motherfucker.
So
that's death, motherfucker?
No, theft. Theft.
Theft. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Although they were talking like it could have been death, too.
Yeah.
That was from a walleye fishing tournament in Ohio. The reason that people are screaming fucking murder is because the organizer of the tournament noticed something was amiss with the caught fish that the tournament's winners had presented when they had to weigh the fish. So he got his knife out, cut the fucking fish open, and pulled out a bunch of lead weights. Hey. Like you can see it in the clip. The guy's just slicing them open. I'll play the clip for you because when they're also slicing the things open, the fucking like it goes to a whole other level when people realize the guy just gutted it and pulled fucking lead weights out. So he's opening it now, gutting it. He's about to pull him out.
Jason, we gotta file for this.
Every fucking single fucking
So, a ton of lead weights in the fish's stomachs that were hidden. And
you don't know that the fish didn't eat them.
That's true. You're right. And how did they also eat other fillets of other walleyes? Do they have a fillet knife and then they cannibalize each other? Because another fish was just stuffed with more walleye, like fillets.
Yo, that was they were stuffed with other fish fillets and
a plier, pair of pliers.
Like, the fish fillets are a good idea.
The fish fillets are a good idea.
Yeah. I also read another one where
we're just like stuff a bunch of bait into their stomach so that then you people can just will stuff argue.
With ice so their evidence melts after they weigh.
Right. Right. There's so many ways to do this, right? Like and the thing is, these guys have been winning like over $2 million, like over their careers. And when you like they were about to walk off with 30,000 that day if no one was wise to their shit. But and like with the entry fees being between like the hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars, you can see why these guys are fucking pissed, because you get a boat. There's fucking sponsorships. There's all this money that comes along with like winning these tournaments. And a lot of people have been like, I don't fucking get it. These fucking guys. One of the fishermen was like, I caught a fish the exact same like length, but their shit was like 2 pounds heavier than mine. And so there's been some suspicion. And apparently cheating and fishing is such a huge problem. I didn't know that, like, to the point where in Texas, there are laws specifically to cover this kind of shit. Like, it is a class A misdemeanor or a third degree felony to do that. Yes. And defrauding a fishing tournament with prizes between or that are more than $10,000 carries a maximum fine of $10,000 and a possible 10 years in state prison.
Wow. So they don't fuck around.
No.
I heard some other ways to cheat at fishing, too, where people will have friends bring them fish
and, out in the water.
Yeah, or they'll hide cages under the water,
and they bring them up there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they recover from the cages with the pre-stuffed fish.
I have a friend dress up as a fish and then catch him and weigh him. Bring him in, and I'm like, that motherfucker is 180 pounds.
Yeah, guys, I'm a fucking 100. Look at me, I'm a 150 pound giant fucker. It's Tim Robinson in a fish costume.
Yo, I just don't understand how this went on for so long, because everyone thought it and everyone kind of knew it, and they never once took a knife to a fish. Never once.
I mean,
and then when they bring it out, it's got multiple giant weights in it.
The weight got lazy.
The weight to beat was 16 pounds and they came in at 33 pounds. What were they doing? Why was this so much?
Too much dip on their chip. That's what everyone said. They were like swinging for the fences in ways like this isn't physically.
They weren't even going to get more money.
Yeah. You just had to be sick. You just had to beat them by a fucking fraction of whatever the
and
winning
then,
weight was.
Like the way, because you don't see the guy's face in the video. That's the one problem. The guy that just got caught, you see him from behind.
You can see him.
Like, and he just from stands profile. There.
He's just, you can tell. He's, look at him. That's, there's a freeze frame of him from the side. Just his profile.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he knows. He can't even process what's happening. Oh, he's right. These like, guys are in his ear
right
now.
Like, do you just walk away? Do you just, you gotta kill yourself.
He is just absolutely still and expressionless with a little bit of a downturned hangdog look.
Like, imagine you're literally LeBron James. And then someone comes in, you know, and they're like, oh, actually, this guy's wearing like false legs. These are illegal.
Oh, no, these are rocket stilts. He's got rocket stilts and he's playing with a remote control ball.
Yeah, but
then no, you're just fucking Pete Rose. I don't know.
They even have shit where like, you know, there'll be observers on the boat sometimes to make sure that people aren't cheating. But apparently people will bribe these people too to be like, yo, you didn't say shit.
They go to the bathroom and you stuff a weight in. Like, they can't just be there the whole time. Get a camera.
And then you also take polygraph tests too. They take polygraph tests. Like the anglers will take polygraph tests after the fact too. But again, come on.
Which is funny. I mean, if you've ever like hung out with fishermen or like fished before and like talked to somebody who like does it for a living, you recognize that they're maybe the biggest liars in the, like, they're professional liars. Like they're like lawyer level professional liars where like fishing tale, like to telling the tale, the one that got away and all that stuff. Like our culture is like shot through with cliches about what liars fishermen are. So yeah, if this is the first time they cut open their fish, like I'm a little disappointed in the integrity of the governing body of
tournament had a big magnet that they slapped the fish against and see if it sticks.
I don't think lead would react to a magnet.
Jesus, Nick.
Oh shit. I gotta get out of here. I have to go read my Civil War manual.
You need to go look at your fucking period of periodic table of elements, fam.
Californium. That's wild. So are these guys? Are they? The guy has a look on his face like he's counting the number of, like, trying to do the math on like how quickly he could run to his presumably F-150 and just like get the fuck out of there.
He's also got to be thinking it's like of places to bury his money. Because he is about to lose everything.
Right.
Yeah. And also, like, it's true. Like, they're on, like, on Reddit, I went on, like, the, like, r/fishing just to be, like, I got the take from, like, general Reddit. And I was like, what's fishing Reddit got to say? And, like, there people were all talking about these guys' past. And they felt that, like, the last couple events, people were getting more suspicious. So, like, it might have just been, like, boiled over this tournament where they're like, no, fucking no. Like, we were willing to maybe not sully the game by like accusing you of cheating then, but apparently this was just a bridge too far. Yeah, like the other thing that people were saying was like, you know, the organizers are probably going to seek restitution for like the prize money that's come from like because they won the previous year's tournament and are probably going to investigate what's gone on there. And these guys have been, you know, they've been caught before. So just fucking
I think we can give them the benefit of the doubt on the previous year's tournament. They're just better at fishing. Yeah. Come on. Just let it go.
So what? You got a $45,000 boat. It's fine. Right. It's fine. But it's wild, too, to see, like, again, in the commentary, people are like, this is what's wrong with the sport, man. Like, we're out there trying to be honorable. And then, but to your point, Jack, I'm like, are you guys all though? Like, it's all about, like, verifying things that are very easy to, like, switch it up on people.
Yeah. Well, Nick, truly a pleasure, as always. Mm-hmm. Having
oh,
you.
That's so nice.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Great question. I'm on Twitter. But more importantly, I wanted to say that I have a new special out on YouTube. Yeah. It's called Ice Cold. My name's Nick Turner. That's all you need to know. And go check that out. And I
like
would
love
it.
Like an ice cold glass of Nick Turner, please.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. This is why it's called Ice Cold. Because I did warm-up sets for 4 hour long tapings, and the network said to make them all different. I did 4 15-minute sets, and the network said to do them all different, and that there's a chance that they would make another hour special out of it and then give me tens of thousands of dollars and put it on the network. And I said, great, I'll take that gamble. And so this hour is for cold audiences.
Wow.
And yes. And so a normal person would not have done this, but I fucking did this. And in the end, this was not cut together until after the season started airing, and it was not considered.
Wow.
for an hour special. But they did end up cutting it, and it's cut with this interview. And it's actually like the best thing I think I've ever done.
I mean,
Better than any TV set I've ever had, better than my other album. I was like, my half hour for Comedy Central, I watched 2 minutes of it. I noticed that they had edited out a sentence in the middle of a joke. And then I fast forwarded it to make sure they kept in the audience interaction that they promised me they would. And they didn't. And I never fucking watched it. Wow. But this one, I'm really proud of. My wife appears in it. My baby appears in it. My mother appears in it. And it's really fun. I hope you check it out.
Okay. Yeah. Please go check that out. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of that.
It's been a site since 07.
Right. Okay.
Technically 06. I hate to come through again with another fact there.
But... Fuck!
I don't think it would actually be magnetic.
It's actually not. Although it is a heavy metal, it is not magnetic like gold.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, that's right. So a friend of mine that also went to this wedding, Chase Mitchell, he went viral with a tweet about his flight. And it's a very long thread, but I just want to read you the first two. First one is, dude beside me on this plane just tried to get me in an aisle seat to swap with his wife, who is in a middle seat. Wife guys really must be stopped. And I don't appreciate the term wife guy.
Yeah, come on.
But then he wrote, I'm not going to do one of those like in-flight tweet threads on this dude. But I will say that he also forgot headphones and is now watching stuff on his phone at full volume, which is some shit I have not seen before. And then Chase said he wrote that tweet after 25 minutes of that guy watching stuff on his phone.
Wow.
And then
wow,
it was just footage of loud trumpets, he said. It might have been the footage from your wedding, Miles.
I know. Dude, I mean, that shit was... He's like, oh, you don't want to switch seats with me? That's fine. Oh, I guess I forgot my headphones. I guess I'll just watch this video.
Yeah. So then he just mentioned that they had started drinking heavily, and that was it. And then for hours, for like the next 6 hours, there were no tweets. And then when he finally landed in Philly, he started tweeting about how the guy had stolen his phone because he was like, he had some conspiracy theory and he thought that Chase was like sending messages about him through his phone or something. And so he stole
it. Which he was.
And then everyone like confronted him on the flight. Like Chase was like, do you have my phone? And he's like, no, I don't have. And then like the cops had to come get him off the plane at the end and they took Chase off and they like asked him if he wanted to press charges and he didn't.
Did he get his phone back? I guess
he got his phone back. Yeah, he got his phone back.
Where was it?
The guy had just taken it, and then Yeah, like Chase went to the bathroom and left his phone, and then when he came back, his phone wasn't there. And then the guy went to the bathroom for like 20 minutes, and he was like, "What is going on with my phone? With that guy in the bathroom?" And he didn't.
Oh my god!
Not until he was searched by the cops.
I didn't realize that, because I saw that tweet too. I didn't realize it ended with phone theft and cops having to come on the fucking plane.
So then he rode the plane. He sat next to us on the plane ride home and tweeted a picture of him with our baby just to be like, I got a seat upgrade this time. Still at the grade. And then it's just really funny to see like viral Twitter talk about your baby.
Right.
There was no contest.
Like, right.
Anyway, check out that thread. It's hilarious.
Well, the moral of that story, I think, is insanely drunk wife guys, listen to your instincts, because he was sending messages about that guy to Twitter.
They weren't secret messages.
He was right.
That's the thing. That's so funny. Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Find Jack and I on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our NBA podcast. And also check me out on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra, talking 90 Day Fiance. Some tweets I like. First one is from Kim at Kimmy Monte, tweeted, my mother has a medical podcast where she self-diagnoses her ailments. It's called My Voicemail, and it happens every morning at 9 a.m. Love that one. Another one is from at Jay Zucks, Trash Jones, tweeted, Chicago-style pizza implies the existence of AP-style pizza. And as an English nerd, I definitely laughed at that one. And the last one, Lukewarm tweets at Luke Jared, tweeted, me. Actually, that's Frankenstein's monster friend. Oh, my bad. Puts energy drink down. Frankenstein. Don't sweat it, bro.
That's great. And actually, Frankenstein would not have that voice. He would be more doctorly, because Frankenstein is the doctor. Just FYI. I had to get him back for you, Nick.
Yeah.
Nah, thank you. Now we have a lead nerd and a Frankenstein nerd. Now everything is right in the world.
Let's see. A tweet I've been enjoying. Patrick, P-A-T-R-Y-C, tweeted, in 1920, we took children out of the coal mines. In 2020, the most popular video game on the market is Minecraft. The children yearn for the mines. That is... There's something to that, because
they yearn for the mines, man.
Yeah, I got a 4 and 6.
Yo, shout out to the Dream face reveal.
Oh,
do you guys see that?
No.
This the most popular Minecraft YouTuber revealed his face. He was just a smiley face before, and it's just hilarious to see the internet have like hundreds of thousands of opinions about just some kid's face.
Some person's normal ass face.
Yeah, oh, dude, you couldn't look more normal in a way where it's like, just don't reveal it, don't build it up. The internet is a bunch of fucked up, unhappy. Yeah, it's a bunch of fucked up, unhappy people, and they're gonna be like, this fucking normcore fuck.
And it's like, what right. the fuck, dude?
Yeah, people never, they're never, because that a version of that happens with podcasts where people start listening to your podcast and then look you up and you're never what they have in mind. It's
yeah, you know what's weird about podcasts too? Because it's like, no matter how many times I look up somebody's face, I still hear their voice more and I never get there.
You never connect the two.
Like there's some shows where it's just like, I've looked up their face like 15 times and every time I'm like, what? Look at those teeth.
Yeah. Not my Ira Glass. Actually, Ira Glass is the one podcaster that looks exactly like his
voice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what's a song we think people might enjoy?
Oh, you're going to enjoy this one. This is from a group called Speed, Glue, and Shinky, which is a like Japanese psych rock band from the 70s. And I fuck with them because like there's a lot of like half Japanese guys in this group. Shinky is half Chinese. Glue is half French. And then Speed is a Filipino member of the band. And they just make like when you listen to this stuff, you're like, damn, this is like David Axelrod kind of like hip-hop sample worthy just band, like, you know, like psych soul band shit from the 70s. And this track is called Don't Say No, and it's the 2017 remaster. And like, this is a band that actually like blew up like well after the fact because they were just very obscure when they were around. So check this out. Speed, Glue, and Shinky with Don't Say No.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.